Today's shir is Masechta Erevin, Dav Zayin. We will begin Dav Vav on the base, four lines from the wide lines. In our previous shir, we had discussed the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel regarding a mavoi okum, a bent mavoi. The Gemara begins, Hahu mavoi okum to have a benado. There was a mavoi okum in the city of Nahada. Ramalai chumer the Rav chumer the Shmuel. And the people put on it, treated it with the stringency of Rav and the stringency of Shmuel. They, that they required that there should be doors at both entrances of this Mavoi. And as the Mefarshim explained, this Mavoi, Rashi tells us, looked like a ches. Since it looked like a ches, so they required that at the two bends of the ches, they should make doors. Chum de Rav, this represented the chum of Rav, that he says that a mavi okum is treated like a mavi mefulish. And as we discussed in our previous shir, when we have a mavi mefulish, one side it's not just treated like a mavi that we began the Masechta with. Do you just need to put a lechi or kaira at the entrance? And on the other, Rama Rav, but ask them, if you want to take the Chumah of Rav, Rav holds like the Tanakama, that Rav holds that all you need to have is a Tzuras HaPesach. You don't have to have an actual door, says the Gemara. On that, he followed the halacha of Shmuel, Dama halacha kechananya, that says that by a mavi mefulish, a tzuras ha-pesach is inadequate. You need to have a door. Ask the Gemara, but if you're going to follow the opinion of Shmuel, from Shmuel's opinion is that terasa kasasim, that such a mavi is not treated like a mavi mefulish. It's only treated like a mavi okum, a bent mavi is not treated like a mavi mefulish. It's treated like a mavi sosum, and the halacha is that a mavi sosum that doesn't require anything other than a lechi or a kaira at the entrance to the Rishus Rabbim. Says the Gemara, Karav, in that way they followed the opinion of Rav, Domar, that it should be treated like a mefulish. So on one hand they treated it like a mavi mefulish, because that's what Rav said it should be treated as. On the other hand, they treated it if it is a mavi mefulish, you have to have actual doors, and tzuras ha-pesach is inadequate. Ask the Gemara, umi avdinan ketrei chumri, do we follow two chumras? For Tanya, have we not learned in a braisa reflecting the machloikus of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that la'olam halach kebeis Hillel? We always followed opinion of Beis Hillel. And if somebody wants to follow the opinion of Beis Shammai, Oysa, he may do so. Kedivri Beis Hillel, if he wants to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, Oysa, he may do so. If somebody does the Kulei Beis Shammai and the Kulei Beis Hillel, he looks for all leniencies, such an individual is Nikra Rosha. He's considered a Rosha. Somebody, on the other hand, who does Mechumre Beis Shammai or Mechumre Beis Hillel, he looks for all chumras, all of a kos of Omer. Regarding such a person, the Pasuk says, V'ksil b'chay shecholich, he's considered a fool. Ella, what is the right thing to do? Ike Beis Shammai b'kuleinu k'chumreim. You should always either follow the opinion of Beis Shammai, both l'kula and l'chumra, or k'beis Hillel k'kuleinu k'chumreim. Always be consistent in the following the opinion of Beis Hillel. But how could you follow both opinions? The Miri says that as long as the halacha wasn't paskin like one opinion, a person has the ability to choose whose opinion he should follow. And even if he chooses the opinion of one Talmud Chochem in one Shaila, he could follow the opinion of another Talmud Chochem in a different question. What he may not do is, if in one Shaila he's going to take two opinions and combine them, that will create a kula or create a chumra, that's what the Gemara is referring to. Furthermore, I saw the Shaul Tshuvas L'Hairus Nosson says that this is only referring to a situation, somebody, a Talmud, Chacham, who wants to decide whose opinion he's going to follow. So there, if in one subject, he can't pick two contradictory opinions. However, when he's not making the decision, the Chachamim, Chazal, tell us that we could take two opinions that seem to be contradictory and follow them, then that's fine. The Ramban in Masechet Chulin asks a question. He says that why does the Gemara say that we always follow the opinion of Beis Hillel? Don't we have a rule that Safek Derais L'Chumra? So typically we know is we follow the opinion of Beis Shammai is the Machmer and Beis Hillel is the Mekel. But why do we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel if it's a question of Deraisa and we have a rule Safek Derais L'Chumra? So the Ramban says that once Chazal tell us that the halacha follows a certain opinion, then it's no longer an issue of Safek Deraisa L'Chumra, Safek Derabanan L'Kula. That becomes the halacha. And the Chazon Ish takes this a step further. The Chazon Ish says not only does that become the halacha, but the Chazon Ish says that if somebody always follows the opinion of a certain Talmud Chacham, that's the opinion that he should follow under all circumstances, whether it's L'Kula L'Chumra. Because once that's become his Rav, that he always follows that opinion, he could follow it no matter if it represents a Kula or a Chumra. Now, says Tosfos says that even if somebody knows that the halacha is like a certain opinion, and he's still machmer, he's considered a fool. And the Beis Halevi explains, if he's being machmer because he's not quite sure what is the halacha, he's not considered a fool. But if somebody knows the halacha, and he's machmer, says that Beis Halevi, that's what Tosfos says, is considered a fool. If the halacha is the halacha, that's what you should do under all circumstances. Why? So the Beis Halevi goes on to explain, because people who start seeing you being machmer when you're not supposed to be machmer will think that that's what the halacha requires. And once they start believing the halacha is that way, you could come to a kula. They'll think that the halacha is flexible, and here I'm machmer, and the next place I'm going to be mekel. And therefore, in order to avoid that kind of an error, don't be machmer when you're not supposed to be machmer. Ask the Gemara, the brisa itself is sort of difficult to understand. Hagufa kasha, let's understand this brisa. Amrit, the brisa began that the loyal halacha beis hillel, that the halacha always follows the opinion of beis hillel. V'amrit, but then the brisa, the hod amrit, and then the brisa itself says, haroi t'lasas k'divrei beis shammai oisa. If somebody wants to follow the opinion of beis shammai, he may do so. So, is the halacha always like beis hillel or not? Answer the Gemara, loy kasha. Kan koidim basko, before the baskel came out, we'll explain the baskel in a moment, there the halacha was, we were not obligated to follow the opinion of beis hillel. Hola acha baskel, after the baskel, the halacha has to be like beis hillel under all circumstances. Viba yisayma, hava ha, both situation, both are talking about, both phrases are following even after the baskel. Hava ha la acha baskel. Both are after the baskel. And how do we understand it? Rabbi Shuhi, this is referring to the opinion of Rabbi Shua, he doesn't follow a baskel. What is the story? The story is the famous Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia. The Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia tells us that there was a machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim regarding the Tanur Shalach Echnoi, regarding the Tum and Tara status of that oven. And there was a basco that came out and said that the halacha should be like Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shua got up, says the Gemara, and said, "Ei mashgich mebaskoil, loy b'shamayim hi." The Torah is not b'shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, and it's for Chazal, for the Chachamim, to determine the halacha. So we see that Rabbi Shua did not follow baskoil, and therefore, even though there's a baskoil that says that we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, we don't have to follow that baskoil because Rabbi Shua says that we don't follow baskoils. So now there's an obvious question. In that Gemara in Masechta Baba Metzia, the Gemara says, and that's the halacha Rabbi Shua says, "Ein mashgichim baskoil." We don't pay attention to the baskoil. The halacha is the way Chazal determined. And if Chazal said the halacha is like the Chachamim, we don't say that the halacha is like Rebbe Lezer. Yet, when it comes to the machloikus Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we do pay attention to the baskol, and we know that the halacha always follows Beis Hillel. So Tosfos answers that there, the baskol that came out was because they were concerned, the Minashamayim, they were concerned for the covet of Rebbe Lezer. So since they were concerned for the covet of Rebbe Lezer, that's not the baskol that we have to pay attention. We follow the rule, as the Torah says, Achir Rab Malhatis. But under other circumstances, where it wasn't that the baskol that came out said that we're following the opinion of Beis Hillel because they were worried about the covet of Beis Hillel, rather, that baskol came out because that indeed is the halacha. The halacha follows the opinion of Beis Hillel. Where that is indeed the halacha, that we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, then there's no concern of ein mashgichim the baskol. Moreover, I saw that the Rosh Hashanah suggests that in that Gemara, Rebbe Lezer asked for intervention min ha-shamayim. So since Rebbe Lezer asked for that intervention, we can't bring a raya from that story to any other baskol. What is a baskol? So I saw two pshatim. The simple pshat of a baskol is that a baskol is like an echo. It's an echo, not the direct source from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I saw that the Tosfos Yontov explains that there was a time when the Nevuah was amongst us, and we were able to hear directly from Hashem. In later generations, where that direct Nevuah diminished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still leaves us a way to hear from Him. The way we could hear from Him is through a baskol. Vibay Seima, another way to understand, Hachikomer. Kol Hechad Mishkachas Trei Tanoi V'Trei Meroi. The way to understand the Brice is as follows. Whenever you'll find a machloikus tanoim or meroim, the plige adodi that disagree, kei machloikus b'sham b'shilul, similar to the machloikus b'sham b'shilul, lo lovit kikuli namar v'kikuli namar, don't take the coolest of both of them, v'loki chumri namar v'kikumri namar, nor don't take the chumris of both of them, rather, elo oiki kikuli namar kikumri of it, pick a tana, pick an Amira and follow his opinion, both Lakula and both Lakhumra, of it. Pick a Tana and follow his opinion under all circumstances. So if that's the case, ask the Mefarshim, why is this connected? If this is referring to all Machloikasin, that means in the Machloikas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, we always follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. Rather, what our Gemara is referring to is other machloikasin. So why are they connected to the machloikas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? So one pshat that the Sefer Toras Chaim explains is that the first place that we find a disagreement was between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, as the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Pechesom and Beis teaches us. Mishurabu Talmidei Shammai Beis Hillel Shloshim Shuk Kol Tzorchon Rabu Machloikas B'Yisrael. And that's why the halacha, that's why when we speak about a model of machloikis, we speak about Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The Gra gives a different explanation, that even when the two people who are disagreeing, like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, are great, are both great people. The Gemara says that Beis Shammai was very sharp, and Beis Hillel, we know, would arrive. They both come with tremendous advantages. The halacha is that we always, we have to pick and follow that opinion under all circumstances. However, I did see that the Rishonim say that if you pick a mach, if you pick an opinion, then you could follow that opinion under all circumstances. Even Lekula, Lechumra, if you pick a Rav, the Shalos of Tshuvas Harav, Shalos of Tshuvas Rashba says that if you follow the opinion of a Paisik, of that Paisik in all situations, then even if that Paisik says a Kula that others disagree with, and I think that the Rashba means to say, even when it's a situation of a Daraisa, the halacha is we follow, you could follow that Paisik. Ask the Gemara, Mimkom Makom Kasha. So we go back to the beginning of our shir. In the beginning of our shir, we spoke about the Mavi Okum. And the way we described that situation was that they were taking both the Chumras and Rav and the Chumras of Shmuel. Ask the Gemara, how could you do that? Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, Kul Karav Avda. They really followed only the opinion of Rav. And this, and Rav really held that that the Tzuras of Pesach by a Mavi Okum is inadequate. Damar Rav Huna Marav, Halacha, that halacha that was said that you don't need to have dalsis, that the tzuras of Pesach is adequate, is said as the halacha, but ve'ein moirin kein. We don't paskin to the public that way. Rather, the way we paskin is that they should actually make doors at the bend. So if they have to actually make doors at the bend, they were following the opinion of Rav completely. Ask the Gemara, however, of Adibar Ahav Amarav, Dama Halacha Moirikain, that not only the Rav say that Tzuras of Pesach is adequate at the bend, but that's Umoirikain, that's the way we paskin publicly. So we're back to our original question, Mayikal Amaymer, how could they follow both the opinion of Rav and Shmuel? Answers the Gemara, Amarav Shizbi, Kiloy Avdin Chumri Debei Retrei, when does the Gemara say that somebody who follows both Chumras is considered a fool? Heichid the Sasri Hadadi, when the two Chumras are going to contradict each other. But if the two Chumras don't contradict each other, there the Halacha allows us to follow two separate Chumras. And the Gemara gives us an example where we have two Chumras that are, where two Chumras could be contradictory. Kigon Shedrava Kigoylus. The halacha is that there's tumah, a dead person gives off tumah, but the halacha is that that's only if you have most of the body. If you don't have most of the body, so the halacha is if you have shedra, if you have the spinal cord, or you have the skull, they also have tumas oil. Tumas magva masa, they'll always be. And the question is, how much of the shedra of gegoilus is missing that it should no longer have the tumas oil? Because the Mishnah Masechta Olus, Perek Bey's Mishnah Gimel teaches us, Hashedra, the spinal cord, Valgagoyles, the skull, Shechosru, that are not complete, don't have Tumas oil, only have Tumas Magav Masa. Ask the Mishnah there, V'kamechisarim b'shedra, how much of the Shedra is missing that there should no longer be Tumas oil? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah B'shamar Mishtei Chelius, if two vertebrae are missing, it no longer gives off Tumah. Imrim Basil say Choyachas, that even one vertebrae missing will no longer have Tumas oil. Uba Gugoilus, what about by the skull? Beshama Imrim Kamala Magdach, if it's missing the size of a drill, then it's not gonna give off Tuma. And Basil Imrim Kadeshinot Machai Vyamas. The amount is that that much would be taken away from a living person and he would die, then the halach is that that type of skull doesn't give off tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul says Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul that the kainlin and treifa, the same achloikus that we have regarding tuma, we're going to have regarding treifa. That means in this machloikus that we just described, Beis Shammai was the machmer, and Beis Shammai said that it's not considered a missing spine until a bigger amount of the spine is missing, and the same thing he said regarding the skull. But we're going to have just the opposite effect regarding Hilchos Treifa. That according to Beis Shammai, until the animal is missing two vertebrae, that animal is not going to be considered a treifa. According to Beis Hillel, as soon as it's missing one vertebrae, it's going to be a treifa. So says the Gemara, if somebody's going to want to pick and say, by Hilchis Tuma, I'm going to follow the strict opinion of Beis Shammai, and by Hilchis Treifa, I'm going to follow the stricter opinion of Beis Hillel, that may not be done because that represents a stira. Aval asked the Gemara, Heichd loy sasri adadi, if the two piskei halacha don't contradict each other, then you're going to say, loy sasri avdinan. We could follow those contradictory piskei halacha. So the Ramban and the Rajba says, even in a situation where the halacha was not clearly paskin like a specific man to amr, we should still never take two piskei halacha that contradict each other, even in a situation where it's a deraisa. Because again, as we said earlier, following two piskei halacha that are contradictory to each other could always lead to serious halacha concern. And therefore, you have to choose a position, of course, through a Talmud Chacham, through a Rav, and follow it, even if the Gemara didn't paskin like one side. The Taisus Arash disagrees. Taisus Arash says that where is this rule that if the two halakas contradict each other, we can't follow, we can't do both ways, if even l'chumra, that's if the halacha is known to follow one specific psak. But if the halacha is not known to follow one specific psak, there the halacha will be, since we don't know, and especially if it's the situation of a deraisa, so sofak deraisa lahachmer. Ask the Gemara, v'heicha d'sasri hadodi, is that true when the two halachas contradict each other? Lo yavdinan, we can't pick both chumras? Ask the Gemara, Moshe Mashashia. Maisa Rabbi Kiva Shalikit Hesrig. Rabbi Kiva cut from the Esrig tree. And we know that when we speak about the cycle, there's a six-year cycle because every seventh year we know is Shemitah. In the first and the second year, every year you have to give Truma, every year you have to give Maisa Rishon to the Levi. In the first and the second year of the cycle, and so too, and in the fourth and the fifth, there's Maisa Sheni. In the third and the sixth, there's Maisa Ani. The Gemara Masecht, beginning of Masecht Rosh Hashanah, that Beis Amin Aleph, has a machloikus, what is the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon? What is the day that the year becomes a new year for our trees are concerned? According to Beis Shammai, it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. According to Beis Hillel, it's Tu B'Shvat. That's why we know Tu B'Shvat is known as Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis. So by all trees, when the fruit blossoms, that's when we start counting a Maisa year. That means if a tree blossomed before the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis, then the year before is considered the year of that fruit. If it blossoms after the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis, that's the year for as far as Hilchas Maisa is concerned. However, when we speak about an esrig, it's not when it blossoms that makes that determines. What is determined is by collecting the fruit. If it was collected before Rosh Hashanah, before that Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis, it's considered from last year's fruit. It was collected after the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis, it's considered according to this year. So what happened was, Rabbi Akiva collected fruit from the esrig tree on Echad B'Shvat, and therefore that is the period between Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Tu B'Shvat, where there's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, it would be already next year's fruit. According to Beis Hillel, it would be last year's fruit. So Rabbi Kiva, in order to be chum, was machmer of Noig B'Shnei Yisurim. He took off two Yisurim. Echad, Meiser. One was Beis Shammai, that was already the third year. And as I said, in the third year, you take off Maisa Ani. And Echad Kedivrei Beis Hillel, there was still maybe the second year where you take off Maisa Sheni. But these were two contradictory Piskei Halacha. And didn't we just say that when there are two contradictory Piskei Halacha, we can't do both? That's called a Ksil B'Choshech Cholich. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Gamri Istapiklei. Rabbi Kiva didn't know Vilayada. He would have only followed the psak of one of them. But he didn't know who in the yeshiva they said you should follow. Ibis Hel B'chad B'Shvat Omer. Is it Beis Hillel that says the Rosh Chodesh Lelonos Rosh Chodesh Shvat? Ibis Chamisha Shvat Omer. He knew we followed the opinion of Beis Hillel. But he wasn't clear what is the opinion of Beis Hillel. And therefore, V'avad Hachel L'chumra, V'achel L'chumra. Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, Tosfos the Rimask of a Nog, that quotes the Yerushalmi, it's not that he took off Maisa twice, because as the Mefarshim explained, that would be problematic, because you're not taking off enough Maisa the second time. What he did was, they took off Maisa Sheni first. The Loch is, with Maisa Sheni, you take off Maisa Sheni and you can redeem it, and take the money to Yerushalayim, and use that money for food in Yerushalayim. So he took off 10% for Maisa Sheni, took that, redeemed it, and took that money to Yerushalayim, instead of using it for himself, that he went and gave all that money to poor people to use for food. Says the Ritva, that here we're speaking about a case that Rabbi Kiva did not have anybody to tell him clearly what is the opinion of Beis Hillel. But if he would have known, if he could have gone to somebody who would tell him what is the opinion of Beis Hillel, that's what he would have to do. He would have to get the halacha and, of course, not rely on two chumras. But our Gemara has clearly indicated that two chumras one should not do. So I saw that the Sefer Daf Aladaf says that when we don't know what we see here clearly, is that when we don't know for sure what is the halacha, then we could do two chumras. So he says, many of us, and he quotes a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer and Or Chaim Siman Pei, is well, do this. Many, certainly, most people don't do and shouldn't do malacha on Friday as Shabbos begins at the earlier zman, the zman of the Ga'onim. Yet those people, Matzoi Shabbos, don't do malacha until the zman of Rabbeinu Tam. So those two acts are not contradictory. But now the question is, if you have a person that always Matzoi Shabbos waits for the zman of Rabbeinu Tam, and a baby boy was born Shabbos afternoon, after the zman, after the shkia of the Goyinim, but it's not yet shkia of Rabbeinu Tam. And as we discussed extensively in Masechta Shabbos, if the eighth day is on Shabbos, we can make a bris next week Shabbos. If the eighth day is not Shabbos, we can't make a bris next Shabbos. So here we have a person that every week keeps the zman of Rabbeinu Tam. So should this person make the bris next week Shabbos or not? So he says, of course he shouldn't make the bris next week Shabbos. And it's not considered, he explains, that he did a contradictory psak. And the reason it's not considered that he's doing something which is contradictory, because we don't know for sure who's the halacha like the Ga'onim or Rabbeinu Tam. And it's a deraisa. And like Rabbi Kiva in our Gemara said, that when we don't know who the halacha is, there following two contradictory psakim is mutar. We go back to Masechta Erevin. Says the Gemara, Yosef of Yosef Kameder of Huna of Yosef Kamamar, Amar Yehuda Amarav, the machloikis that we had between the Tanakhama and Hananya regarding voice mefiloshim. Everybody agrees that on one side a lechi or kaira is adequate. We had a machloikis, what do you do on the other side? Is a door required or is a tzeres ha-pesach adequate? Machloikis the Tanakam and Hananya is b'tzratya, a place like a highway, mikan or sratya mikan, where you have two rishus rabbis from both sides. The platya mikan, or a plaza on one side, or platya mikan, and a plaza on the other side. Ava sratya, but if you have a situation that on one side you have a rishus rabbim, ubika, on the other side, you have a field, which is only a karmelis, oi bika mikan, or bika mikan, or you have both sides of the mavui have karmelis, on one side, you have to. Everybody will agree. A tzuras pesach on one side and lech v'kayr mekan on the other side is sufficient. Here we learn that there's a new type of rishus rabbim. In our previous year, we discussed rishus rabbims. In our shiur today, we now learn that platya, a public place, is considered a rishos harabim. So I saw that the Chshalos HaTshuvos Chacham Tzvi in Siman Lamed Zayin quotes a Rashba that says that by a platya, by an open plaza, even a door, we spoke in our previous shiur that a rishos harabim could be enclosed by having dalsis. He says that by a door, by a platya, even a door would not be helpful. A platya, an open plaza, is considered a rishos harabim. So I saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach asks, if that's the case, how would we look at the plaza in front of the Kaisel Maravi? It's an open area, and even if it should be enclosed, it should be considered with the many people. If it's enclosed with many people, the Chacham Tzvi, the Rashba say, it won't be considered, it still will be considered Rishos Rabim, and even if it's enclosed, it shouldn't help us. So he says, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that the definition of a platya was a place where they used to do business. But the open area of the Kaisel is only meant for davening. That isn't considered a platya. And even if you hold that by platya, it wouldn't help when it has mechitzas around it, here it would not be considered a full-fledged platya. And if it has a covering around it, the halacha is that it's considered, it could be considered like that, a rishos hayachid. Ask the Gemara, but we need to understand this halacha that we just learned. Hashta. If srachi mikan or bikka mikan, if one side is a rishos harabim and the other side is a karmelis, we're saying ois loy tzuras ha-pesach mikan v'lech v'kari mikan. It's good enough I have a tzuras ha-pesach on one side and a lech v'kari on the other side, according to everyone. So certainly bikka mikan or bikka mikan mibayir. So if both sides are a karmelis, it should be enough. So I saw that Tosfos the Rimaskel Bikka asks, maybe what he's coming to tell us is that if you have a karmelis from both sides, you don't even have to have a tzuras ha-pesach. Says Tosfos that doesn't seem to be what the Gemara is coming to teach us. Moreover, it doesn't seem to make any sense, say the Rishonim, that a lechi v'kaira would be enough. Because when, as we said at the beginning of the Masechta, is a lechi v'kaira adequate? When you have three walls. Here you don't have three walls. Here you have only two walls. So of course, you would have to have more than a lechi v'kaira. And so therefore, what's the chiddush? Answers the Gemara, the way to understand it is as follows. Srach mikan and bikka mikan, if on one side you have a rishos rabim and the other side you have a karmelis, nasakim my bikka mikan, and just like in that situation, we understood that a tzuras ha-pesach on one side would be adequate, here too that should be understood. Continues the Gemara in discussing a number of situations. But to understand this Gemara, till now, we spoke about a mavi hamafulish, which is open to rishos harabim, open to a karmelis. But now, there's going to be a situation that we're going to learn in the Gemara, where you have a mavi that one side is open to rishos harabim, and the other side is open to rishos hayochid. But there are two types of rishos hayochids that the Gemara is going to be discussing that this mavi is open to. It could be open to a rechava, or it could be open to a chatzar. A rechava is like a backyard. And a backyard in those days was not really used. It was a very non-used private area. A chatzar, we know, is a definition of a courtyard, which is rishus hayachid, but it was an area that was used a lot. Now, if it's open, if one side of your mavi is open to a chutz or a chava, that's certainly not considered mavi mefulish. It's considered mavi sosim. Because behind the rechava, behind the chutz, there's a wall. And nobody could walk through this mavi to get from one rishus rabim to another rishus rabim, which, as we've been saying, the definition of a mavi mefulish is when you can get from one end to the other end to the rishus rabim. And therefore, a lechi a kaira at the entrance to the Smovi, to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, will be adequate. Of course, you have to make Shtufim Avos. Of course, you have to make Aruv HaTzeiris. What we're going to be discussing in our Shia today is when that Ruchava or that Chatzar behind your Mavui is open to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. What will be the halacha then? Masayim ba Mishmei Rav Yehuda, and they taught us in the name of Yehuda, im haya mavi kolol ruchava, if the mavi leads into a ruchava behind the house, even if it's open, even if that ruchava is open to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the halacha is ein tzarich klum. There's no need to make anything on that side. Because since you don't go from one Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to the other Rosh Hashanah Rabbim straight through the mavi, you have to walk through the ruchava. Therefore, it's not considered a mavi mefulish, it's considered a mavi sosum. And the lechi ukaira at the entranceway between the mavi and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim will be adequate. That's diagram 42 in the Oiz V'Hadar, shows us that diagram. So what we have learned from Yehuda is that a mavi hamefulish from one Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to another Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, where you have to travel through Rosh Hashanah Yochid, is not considered a mavi mefulish. And the second halacha we learned, he spoke specifically about a ruchava, which, as we described a moment ago, is an area that people typically don't go. But let's say it would be a chatzar. There, since the people in the chatzar will make that you can't carry the mavi if there was no erev with them, which Shtufim Avos. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda specifically spoke about a Rechava. I didn't speak about a Chatzar, because by Rechava, so there's nobody in that Rechava, so there's no need for Shtufim Avos. But if it was a Chatzar back there, if there's a Chatzar back there, there's a need for Ruvei Chatzeris. And if you didn't make a Ruvei Chatzeris, even though we're saying now that you don't have to do anything on that back wall, the lechi and kaira, the entranceway, is adequate, but you still have a problem if you didn't make shtufim avos. Omle Abayel Rabbi Yosef. So Abayel said to Rabbi Yosef, Ahad Rabbi Yehuda, this halacha that we said in the name of Yehuda, and we know throughout Shas, Rabbi Yehuda had two rabbeim. He had Rav as a Rebbe, and he had Shmuel as a Rebbe. And many times in Shas, when Rabbi Yehuda says a halacha, we try to determine which of his rebbeim did he say this halacha in the name of. Says the Gemara, this halacha that we just learned from Rabbi Yehuda, he must have said in the name of Shmuel, and not from Rav. Because the Gemara explains, the Rav, kasha the Rav of Tarti. Because if we're going to want to say that this halacha follows the opinion of Rav, we'd have two questions. So again, the way Rashi explains this Gemara, we're going to explain it outside and then we'll do it inside, that Rabbi Yehuda said that if it opens up to Rechava, then you could carry in the Mavi, as long as you did a Lechi or Kaira at the entrance of the Mavi, you'll have two questions. Here we're saying that even if it's completely open, if the Rechava is open to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it doesn't make a difference. Rav said the mavi shenifritzum and meloy lechatzer. Rav teaches us that a mavi that's open to a chatzer, and the chatzer is open to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're not allowed to carry the mavi. The Rav holds it's a mavi mefulish. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this mavi that's open to the Rechava, that's open to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, is not considered a mavi mefulish. Is difficult because Rav says it is considered a mavi mefulish. Moreover, as we explained a number of times, Rabbi Yehuda said that it's specifically when it's open to Rechava. If it was open to Chatzar, then we would have a problem. Because even if the Chatzar is completely enclosed, it has no breach. If you didn't make an Erev between the people in the Chatzar and the people in the Mavi, you didn't have Shtufim Avos, it's going to be considered like a mavi haparitz b'maloyay l'makam ha'osaloy, a new term, where the Mavi is open to an area where the people from the Mavi cannot carry, they didn't make shtufim avoyis, you can't carry in that Mavi. Rav said that if the Mavi is open to a chatzar, and the chatzar is open to the Rishus Rabbim, that's where you have a problem. So why do you have a problem? Only because the chatzar is open to the Rishus Rabbim. So it seems that Rav's opinion is that where the chatzar not open to the Rishus Rabbim, even though there is no Erev between the chatzar and the Mavi, Rav wouldn't have a problem. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if the chatzar is not open to the Rishus Rabbim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only because it's a Rechava. But if it was a chatzar, it would always be a problem. According to Rav, it's only a problem if it's open to the Rishus Rabbim. Says the Gemara, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda's halacha represents the opinion of Rav, we're going to have Kash the Rav or the Rav. Dom Rabbi Yehuda bar Abba Amar Rav. As we just said, Rav's opinion is Mavui Nifrats, to a Mavui that's open to on the back, L'chotzer, to the Chotzer, the Nifratza Chotzer Kenagdoi, and then the wall of the Chotzer is open to the Rishus HaRabim. The halach is HaChotzer Muteris. You could carry in the Chotzer, La Mavui Osir, but you can't carry in the Mavui. And let's understand this halacha. The halacha is you could carry in the chatzar, even though it's open to the Rishus Rabbim and to the Mavi, but we're talking about a situation where these openings are not wider than 10 amos. Not only are they not wider than 10 amos, but they have walls still standing on the two sides of that opening. So that opening is only considered like a door. And the door of the mechitzas of a chatzar don't prevent you from being able to carry in the chatzar. And therefore, even though there's a door between the chatzar and the mavi, and they didn't make an eruv between the people in the chatzar and the people in the mavi, the halacha is you could still carry in the chatzar. Because the people from the mavi, explained the Rishonim, aren't really allowed to walk in the chatzar. So the fact that the mavi is open to the chatzar is open to the mavi, doesn't bother me. However, the mavi, you can't carry in, usur, because this is considered a mavi hamafulish. There's a straight direction from the mavi through the chatzar to the Rishus Rabbim. And according to Rav, there are special halachas that we'll be learning by a mavi hamafulish. Everybody agrees a mavi hamafulish. One side, you have to have a lechi kaira, and the other side, either doors or a tzuras pesach, otherwise you cannot carry through. So we see from Rav's opinion that a mavi that goes through the mavi that a mavi can be considered mavi mafulish, even if you have to travel through Rishus HaYochid to get to the other Rishus Rabbim. And that the other halacha we see from Rav is that a mavi that's open to a chatzar doesn't prevent the people in the chatzar aren't an issue. And that's why Rav specifically said it's only a problem if the chatzar is open to the Rishus HaRabim, and if I have a mavi mafulish. But were the chatzar not open to the Rishus HaRabim, I don't have a problem in carrying in the mavi if I made a lechi and kaira at the entrance to the mavi, even if there's no area between the chatzar and the mavi. But ask the Gemara, v'amai, why the Rav say it? Why isn't Levi Kamavi Shikavu Chava? Why should this be considered like a Mavi Mefulish? Why should it be not considered like an open to Rechava? And when it's open to Rechava, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not considered a Mavi Mefulish. So we see that it's different. So we have to say that Rav Yehuda said his halacha in the name of Shmuel, and not in the name of Rav. Because according to Rav, we don't understand, A, why is he calling it a Mavi Mefulish? And B, why is it mutter to carry in the Mavi when the Chatzar is not breached, even if they didn't have an Erev? Amalei, Anola Yodana, I don't know who Rav Yehuda said this halacha have. But what I do know is, Uvda Hava Bedur Dervasa, there was a story in the place, in a village where shepherds used to live, There was a mavi shekala rechava hava, where mavi entered into a chava with the back of that rechava open to rishus rabbim. Vasla kameid of Yehuda, and they came to Yehuda for loyatzucha meidei, and he didn't say anything. Well, he didn't require anything between the entrance between the mavi and the rechava. Vikash mishmei the rav. If you're going to say that there's a problem, that if you say Rabbi Yehuda said this nalach in the name of Rav, tavi d'shmei d'shmul. So I'll say that he said it in the name of Shmul, v'lekosha midi. However, says the Gemara, we don't necessarily have to limit that Rabbi Yehuda said this halacha only in the name of Shmul. We could say that he even said it in the name of Rav. Because hashta amalei Rav Sheshel Rav Shmul ba'aba, v'amalei Rav Yosef ba'aba, azbrelach, I'm going to explain to you what I heard from Rav. That even Rav agrees that only if there's an Erev between the people and the Chatzar and the people and the Mavui is the halacha you could carry both in the Mavui and the Chatzar. But if there was no Erev made between the Erev, between the Chatzar and the Mavui, then the halacha would be you could carry in the Chatzar and you can't carry in the Mavui. Because when Rav said that you can't carry in the Mavui, he didn't see, he wasn't focused on the halacha mavi am a foolish rishus rabim, like we assumed. But rather, his concern was because there was no erev between the mavi and the chatzar. And that's why, since there's no erev between the mavi and the chatzar, that creates that you're not allowed to carry in the mavi. But if they did make an erev, then you could carry in the mavi. So now, why did Rav speak about a case? What if that's the point? If they made an Erev or not, why did Rav have to focus if the wall of the Chatz is breached? Because Rav wanted to teach us in the Halacha that even if the people from the Rishus Rabim may be going through the Chatz to get to the Mavui, so maybe under those circumstances, not only may I not carry in the Mavui, but maybe I shouldn't be able to carry even in the Chatzar. So that's why Rav wanted to teach us that if they made an Erev, so certainly the people from the Mavi could carry in the Chatzah and vice versa. If they didn't make that Shtufa Bevos, the people in the Mavi won't be allowed to carry, but the people in the Chatzah will be allowed to carry, and they'll be allowed to carry so far, even if the wall is breached to the Rishus Rabbim. If that's the case, Udurav Udurav, Nami Loikasha. So now, the halacha Rabbi Yehuda taught us and the halacha Rav taught us don't contradict each other. Because kan she'ir b'nei chotzim b'nei mavi, Rabbi Yehuda was speaking about a case of a mavi that opens to the rechava, where mavi that opens to the rechava is equal to a mavi that is open to a chotzim that has an erev, and therefore you could carry in the mavi. Kan, the din that Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba said the name of Rav is talking about Shloy Arvu, where they didn't make an error between the Mavui and the Chatzar, and therefore the people in the Mavui, nothing to do with the back breach, can't carry in the Chatzar, can't carry in the Mavui, because the people in the Mavui can't carry there because there is no Shtufi Mavas with the Chatzar. And the back wall doesn't bother me. If it's breached or not, is not relevant. As Rabbi Yehuda said, if it doesn't go straight from one Rishus Rabbim to the other Rishus Rabbim through the Mavui, you have to go through the Chatzar or through the Rechava. Even if it's breached, it will not be considered a Mavui Amafolosh.